Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, in about a half hour here. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agwumike, because we got NFL training camps lighting up with pads right now. We got NBA free agency going off, and we got Chinee Agwumike checking in from Parts Unknown here on ESPN Plus right now.
What up, though? Parts Unknown. Yeah, you'll never know what is happening right now, but like you guys know I'm in the middle of the WNBA season. Sometimes practices run late, so you will see my face very, very soon, just not right now. Like, probably give me about 10 more minutes.
Okay? Listen, I don't ask questions around here. We are just happy to have you back in the saddle here.
Hear my voice.
As always, listen to the sound of my voice.
Listen to the sound of my voice.
All right.
By the way, wait, hold on, Junior.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, I was working the NBA draft, and I was, like, super tired coming off of Vegas, working with the Nigerian national team and all that stuff. The first social media comment I got from the draft was, like, ooh, I love a woman with a raspy voice. And I was always like, am I that? Like, do I officially have a raspy voice? Am I a raspy voice person?
I wouldn't say you've got a raspy voice. I just think, like, you're usually coming off of practice. And so if I ever hear your voice a little hoarse, I just figure it's because you've been communicating all day.
Y'all remember ever since the season started back in May how I didn't have a voice for like two straight months? Like,
oh God.
It was always a struggle.
The Chinee Agwumike training camp voice was like hurting. Like, there were segments where Chinee's just looking at me like giving the I don't got it sign here. You go and take this take a little bit longer, which honestly, Chinee, is perfect timing because we are in the middle and going to talk a lot about NFL training camps. We got everyone getting in fights and stuff over here. Like, were there WNBA training camp fights? Do you guys ever get like to the point where you're ready to throw down? You're so sick of each other?
Yeah, there was a fight. Well, it didn't happen. Our coaches intervened because we had a game, an actual game the next day. So it wasn't training camp, but it was like very early in the season. And we saw two players knucking and bucking. And like the sign for us was seeing, okay, you know when you catch the ball and you like get into triple threat or whatever?
Yep.
You know, it sounds so corny when you say triple threat because you hear it like ever since you're a kid. And one of my teammates just started swinging her elbows, like not caring who was in front of her. I was like, yep, those are meant to take people out. And then our coach was like, save it for the game tomorrow. So it was defused. But yeah, I think, you know, when you get so excited to be back, people are on like 100 with competitive fire and trying to set the tone for the year, and so I'm not surprised that these fights have broken out.
Nope, not at all, because Chinee, the other thing they have in common is just what you said. You guys were right on the cusp of getting to play somebody else, but that means you had already spent a lot of time going against each other, and nothing will get you ready to throw down quite like seeing the same people over and over again every day clanging and banging for that long. Now, we'll get to more of those. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll take your training camp fight stories or what you're most excited about for this NFL training camp here. It's Chinee Angola Jr. at ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, motorcycle, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Now, Chinee, we're also still basking in the glow. Like, NBA free agency, we know it popped off last night, but I'm strolling into the studio here watching Rachel Nichols and the folks on The Jump, and I see Woj dropping bombs everywhere already. And so we can go a couple different directions. Like, Steph Curry signing another $200 million contract is awesome. But, Chinee, I want to stick in Los Angeles first because LeBron James is getting the gang back together for one more heist as Carmelo Anthony signs a deal with the Los Angeles Lakers for 1 year to join that squad. Chinee, you look at this roster among all the NBA free agency moves that we've seen so far. Can this work, a roster with this many 30-plus-year-olds?
I think it's hilarious that on Twitter, everyone's like, ooh, the Lakers are looking like that club that's only for the 30 and over, like the 30-plus gang. You know, it's interesting, Junior, because I was working the NBA draft, and that news with Russell Westbrook joining the Los Angeles Lakers happened during the draft. And you know me, like, I tend to sit. As a human being, it takes me a while to digest information and then sort of really think what my thoughts are. And people were sort of surprised when I said that this might actually be their push for the playoffs. And everyone's like, what? The Brody, who can't shoot really from the outside consistently, is going to help make that push in the playoffs. And I see it from two different ways. The league is dominated by young stars that are making their marks and taking over the game, like the Luka Doncic's, the Giannis Antetokounmpo's, the Trae Young, who just cashed out with a $200-plus deal, which is wild. It's either on that side of the spectrum or it's those vets. Those wily vets that know how to play their best basketball when it matters most. And I think the Lakers are loading up on those vets. now having, I mean, did you see Dwight Howard is back with the Lakers? Now you have, you know, this core, even though AD is young, he sort of is, you know, his talents are beyond his age. So when I saw that Carmelo joined the fold of LeBron James, AD, and now, you know, Russell Westbrook, I was not surprised, because I think when push comes to shove, those guys know that when they look each other's in the eyes, they're going to be like, all right, like, we've got to give our all because these are our last few years, and let's max out on that. And so that's what's going to propel them in the playoffs. Meanwhile, the young people might, you know, run circles around them, Junior, but I do see the respect that they probably have, knowing that we know exactly what you're going to bring, how much this game matters, and that's what they're banking on, that experience. But we'll see. We'll see if the legs are there, you know, towards the end.
That's the interesting part of all of this, Janae. As I said, this kind of also says they're not really – they understand the window's not that much longer with LeBron James here, right? Like, this is a here-and-now move, and they've been operating on the bargain barrel. These are all vet minimum contracts. Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, Melo. Like, these are all bargain bin contracts that they've been doing since they brought Anthony Davis over, with the understanding that we're going to try and take this as long as we can, but we don't imagine it's all that long given the age of this roster. Like, Russell Westbrook, who you mentioned, is on the younger side at 32, and little Malik Monk's going to be over there trying to fry these guys on TikTok.
22.
They'll have no idea because none of them are going to be on the app with him.
Yeah, LeBron, I'm not surprised. Like, LeBron kind of tried to still act young, you know? You know what's funny, Junior? Can I just reset the whole conversation?
Please do.
I've been talking to all my friends about this, like, LeBron James and, you know, his career and all this stuff, and people are like, he's so old. The man's 36. Junior, he's 5 years older than you?
Oh, Janae, listen, like, I love this team. Like, everyone's calling them the LAARP team because they old. Like, these are my age range peers, and it's freaking me out a little bit that, like, if you rolled this team out in 2008, be balling right now.
Oh, man. Big
like
balling.
The height, like,
Mello,
Dwight Howard winning the dunk contest. Like, it's all there. But
it's 10 years later, or even more, 13.
Yeah, dear God. It's very humbling to see to this point where, like, my friends are retiring after good long careers, and this team is coming together, and they're going to be a great nostalgia hit. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Chiney, overall, this is certainly the recent one today, again, reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, that we're going to see Carmelo Anthony suiting up with LeBron James in a Lakers uniform. Overall, what you've seen, though, Chiney, which team do you think moved themselves ahead the most based on the last 24 hours?
Okay. Sorry, Nick Friedell, who joined us yesterday. I might go with the Chicago Bulls.
Ooh.
Okay, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, Chicago, we're in this perennial state of us getting excited and getting let down. No, I really like what they've done. I do. Getting Nikola Vucevic, yeah. Like, people may say, oh, you know, we don't know. Like, what did Nick say? He was like, oh, this is a team that's going to be a seventh seed in the playoffs and then find their way out, right? I still like the fact that they just got DeMar DeRozan. Am I correct? Didn't I see that hit
yes.
the wire?
Yep, DeMar I was going to say that was also reported. DeMar DeRozan, multi-year deal in Chicago.
DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, and Nikola Vucevic. Like, yeah, those are the guys that may be in the periphery, but collectively they could be an actual team should they play team basketball that has enough talent to actually make some waves. So if I'm Chicago, and I think I saw Sarah Spain, shout out to Sarah Spain, talk about how she was super excited that DeMar DeRozan was coming. And I'm like, yes, oh my gosh, shout out to our TV department, because over my nice little headshot will be LARP, Lakers, LAARP. Wow, y'all are really having a good day here. Yeah, but Chicago Bulls are my team, but I appreciate our TV team as well.
Watch
us on ESPN Plus.
That is true. That's all the plug you need right there to go and download ESPN Plus. Make sure you're on top of that right now so you can get some of the great graphics that our folks around here are cooking up. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you as we get rolling along. NFL training camps, put the pads on today. What's got you most hype already? Because we are in the early absolute rush to start to crown the next champion, the next star in that league right now.
Oh, and Kendrick Nunn to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Boom, wow. Boom. Kendrick Nunn out there. All right. Well, that's
talk
a
about these
cliff.
Minimum deals. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Woj bomb. Woj bomb. Woj bomb.
Kendrick Nunn to the Lakers. That one, that'll be interesting to see how he fits in around that crowd. He seems like the most likely candidate to get called a whippersnapper.
Oh, my gosh. And speaking of which, Adrian Wojnarowski also, and you see how I said that name so effortlessly, okay, our ESPN NBA insider, also put in the announcement that he turned down significantly more money to chase a title with the Lakers. So look at that. They think that the pieces that they brought, albeit older, are still capable of winning a championship. Interessante.
Very interesting. We'll see if Kendrick Nunn learns to pass somewhere along the way. That'll be more of a more necessary on that Lakers team. 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear what you're hyped for in NFL training camp. We got tons of NBA news that'll be breaking from Woj and others throughout the day. And damn it, Cliff. We said one time you got to play that sounder here. People are freaking out right now.
I bet I got trigger happy.
That's fine. You know what? Coming up next, I got a take that'll sing even louder than that sounder from Cliff, too. We'll get to that next here. ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
She's back.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Can you do the sneeze?
Red, what?
Red.
Why
red,
don't I know red, any of these red, dances red, anymore? Rick I belong in the Lakers.
Janae
and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I know what the show is.
I'm on the ones and twos, baby.
All right, listen. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake here. I know what the show Rick and Morty is, which, by the way, this season, those writers are absolutely in their bag. Yes, I would say I was Pickle Rick for Halloween, and this season has been off the charts. But, Janae, I have no idea what that dance you just described or what that song is.
Smeeze, one. That's the dance. By the way, Shannon, can you not? Do you know what the smeeze is? He doesn't. Dang it. Braylon does. And Shannon G does as well. So, yeah, I know they know it. That's Rick. Oh, wait, you guys can show me on TV now.
See,
unless you guys want to just
by
keep
the way,
the break.
What Shanae just described there, Shannon's kids absolutely know what that dance is because it's probably something everyone's been doing on TikTok. This is going to be Malik Monk in the 2021-22 Lakers locker room.
Yes.
This is what he's going to have to do.
Those are going to be great. By the way, I watched my first episode of Rick and Morty this past week, and I loved it. At first, I was like, what in the world am I watching? And then I sort of got it. So it was great. It was I can't even talk about the episode because it's so wild.
Yeah, it's a episode about putting giant fighting ferret robots together over and over again that's also somewhat Italian mafia themed here. So if you ever think you can put that show in a box, I assure you, you cannot.
Yep.
Now, Janae, giant fighting robots aside, we had giant fighting athletes earlier today. So NFL training camps put on pads for the first time earlier today. And Janae, you were talking earlier in last segment about what can happen in training camp, because every sport, no matter if it's football where you actually get to put on pads and hit each other really hard legally, or basketball, that's certainly a physical sport, if not a full-on collision sport. The one thing that's always true is the first day, and I think really when you get towards the end, are the areas that are most volatile, right? Because the first day, everyone's hyped up, ready to go. You got the Giants out here slugging it out. Joe Judge, their head coach, apparently stopped practice, had everyone running 100-yard gassers, and lit into this team in a way that scared the absolute hell out of reporters. Now, here was Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback, kind of trying to downplay this. Daniel Jones, who reportedly dove into the fray himself and got involved, their franchise quarterback. Here was DJ after practice.
You know, for one, the energy, the excitement, the willingness to compete, the wanting to compete is all positive. I think, regardless of who it is, people who are excited to be there, who want to play football, who want to compete. Right now, the opponent's the defense, their opponent's us. So we're competing against each other. But like I said, we got to do a better job handling it. There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose your cool, there's consequences, and that hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands it.
Have you ever seen him that angry before?
Yeah, he's a pretty, he can get excited, and I think, guys respond to it, and I think they certainly got the message today.
I think, Daniel, some people would say, starting quarterback, kind of stay out of that. What made you want to run in and participate?
I'm part of the team, and I don't, part of the team, part of the offense, and we're competing, so I don't see myself separated from that.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. First off, DJ's probably like, yeah, dude, we get talked to like that every day around here. And Janae, as mad as Joe Judge was, and as much as he cursed that team out, somewhere deep down in places he won't talk about at parties, he loved the fact that his quarterback was tough enough to go out there and try and jump in on this.
I also just watched Entourage. That was another one of my viewing binging experiences. And I just imagine Joe Judge going, victory! Victory!
Yes!
That's for all those people out there that watch that show. So
much appreciated on this end, Janae. But you're right. Like, this is always the tough part is, this probably as well or better than everyone. Coaches are going to say one thing. And at times, especially in the NFL, especially in football training camps, it's we don't fight around here. but you want to see players get up to that line. Like, we heard that from Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach. Janae, did you get to any point here? Like, was there a breaking point for you in Sparks training camp at all in the last couple of years?
No, there wasn't a breaking point per se where we actually started, like, fighting. But I do think, because our, you know, coaches can catch that. Like, when things are about to tip over, it's the job of the coaches to intervene. But when you're playing football, there's more than 10 people on the field, okay? Like, when we have on the court. And so it's harder to catch those things. And then you guys have paraphernalia that we don't, like helmets and stuff and pads on and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, I think that these are signs of early in camp, the competitive fire that players have when they want to show up. They have goals for themselves. They want to, you know, start committing themselves to those goals, and they want to compete on every play. And I think, you know, it just sort of is, it's part of the blueprint of New York, especially this Giants squad. So, like, when I heard this was coming out of that, I was like, makes sense. Just stay safe and don't do it all the time.
Yes, and if you're the quarterback, this is cool one time. You got out of this healthy, and every offensive lineman on that team protecting him would be the first to walk over and say, DJ, awesome stuff, man. We love it. Fired everyone up. Don't ever do that again.
Please, because don't do it.
Oh, don't do it. Please don't do it. Because if you get hurt, our entire season is screwed. Look at what's going on in Indianapolis right now. Coming up next, though, let's find out what the latest moves on the table for the Colts are, some of the latest about the NFL's COVID-19 policy, and more. We'll check in with NFL insider Adam Schefter after this word from 5-Hour Energy.
So you heard it here, just our expertise. We're both athletes, some current, some former, but we know that staying in shape is important. So do you want to get in shape but have trouble staying motivated? Make 5-Hour Energy Shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. You always know where to find 5-Hour Energy Shots, right at the cash register at nearly every convenience, drug, and grocery store nationwide, everywhere. Or you can go to 5hourenergy.com today and use promo code GOLIC, we know him, G-O-L-I-C, to receive 10%, whoa, 10% off of your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com, promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. Now football is back, y'all. Training camp bringing out the best and a little bit of the worst. We'll check in with our ESPN NFL insider extraordinaire, Adam Schefter, next on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby has been busy for the last month. And according to sources telling The Athletic, he might be even busier today. We'll get you to that in about 10 minutes here. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. But before we get to that, we've also got plenty of news as NFL training camps are putting the pads on, which means we get to check in with our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter. And Schefter, we know you were busy yesterday reporting on Carson Wentz, the Indianapolis Colts quarterback who had foot surgery after an injury there. And now we're hearing today Quentin Nelson, their all-pro guard, now similar injury affecting him. What's the latest on the timeline for both of these Colts stars?
Mike, Janae, how are we all doing? Mike, what do you know about Quentin Nelson? That's your guy. That ain't my guy.
Oh, I know, man. It was brutal, Schefter. The big guy going down here, and I did not think anything could harm this man. So you've got to tell me what's going on here, because I'm worried about my large adult son.
He's never hurt, right? Like, he's never hurt, correct?
Never. Quentin has been an absolute warrior going back to his time at Notre Dame. And so, Adam, I say all that as to indicate is this is something that certainly pinged on my radar, because this is not something we normally see happen to this man.
Yeah, you know, to me, it was a little surprising. Now, I will say, last night I had heard he was in a walking boot, and I made a couple of calls, and I said, something's weird here, because the fact that you know him very well, you play with him at Notre Dame, and you know his injury history, which is zero, and how he plays through everything, and I said, he's in a walking boot, he didn't finish. I made a couple of calls. I didn't get very far, obviously, and then Frank Reich, as he did yesterday, made the announcement that Quentin Nelson was having foot surgery today, one day after Carson Wentz had foot surgery, and that Quentin Nelson is out 5 to 12 weeks, just like Carson Wentz is out 5 to 12 weeks. Now, I don't know, is it something in the water there in Indy? Is it something on the playing surface? It's just kind of weird that on back-to-back days, these two players who are integral to their organization both have foot injuries and require foot surgery that sidelines them 5 to 12 weeks. And I don't think this is them playing around like, boy, we're going to keep the opponent in week one. I just think that they don't know how quickly these guys are going to rehab, and they don't know whether it'll be short or long. And I think that they're still optimistic that Carson could potentially be back for week one, which doesn't mean he will, but they're not ruling it out right now. And again, your position, you know better than me. I would think it's going to be harder for Quinton to come back from something like that, playing the position he does, carrying the weight he does, sooner than Carson Wentz, but we'll find out, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Adam Schefter, our own ESPN NFL insider, joining us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Like you said, I think the Bills, you know, when it comes to injury, do sort of have their own timelines. Now, Shefty, what is the temperature in Indy overall, and how are they planning on hopefully moving forward in the interim?
Well, obviously, they have to be discouraged, and they can't be pleased about what's going on. But you know, this is a team that was built to win and good enough to win. But no team, I don't think, can continue to sustain losses like they have and expect to have the type of success that they want. You can't lose your starting quarterback and your best offensive lineman, arguably the best offensive lineman in all of football, and think that things are just going to roll on the way they were. Now, if it's just Carson Wentz and they have Jacob Eason step in there and hand off the football to Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack and run the football all day behind Quentin Nelson, who's now out, and behind Ryan Kelly, who's out with a hyperextended elbow, and behind Eric Fisher, who's still coming off the okay, fine. But these guys aren't out there right now. So now we're at the second string offensive lineman and a second string quarterback, and that becomes a little bit problematic.
Adam, is there any talk or conversation about potentially trading for a quarterback? We've heard Nick Foles. I heard people bring up Marcus Mariota. Is any of that something they're even floating at this point?
That's not how they're thinking right now, Mike. I think that they believe that it will not be too long on Carson, for starters. And I think that they believe that Jacob Eason will do good enough to get by. And they also want to see how Carson Wentz is rehabbing over 2 weeks, right? Like, if he's doing okay, then they think they'll get him back in a reasonable amount of time. And if that's the case, then they don't need to trade for a veteran. So I know everybody's been floating Nick Foles' name out there and Mark Mariota and Gardner Minshew and whoever else you want to come up with for that job. But the fact of the matter is they're not thinking like that right now. Right now. Now, could that change 2 weeks from now? Yes. But right now, today, they're going to try to ride with Jacob Eason and hope and think that Carson will make it back sooner rather than later.
Talking to Adam Schefter on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NFL insider, also host of the Adam Schefter podcast. And Schefter, I know you got to talk to Niners GM John Lynch not too long ago, and we saw Trey Lance got a couple of reps with the ones today. Where are they at with this competition? Is this team committed to Jimmy Garoppolo as their starter at this point still?
Well, listen, we all know that Trey Lance is going to be the quarterback of the future there, but on that podcast, and I appreciate you bringing it up, Mike, is the fact that John Lynch, while talking about his road from Tampa to Denver to Canton, Ohio this weekend, where he'll be inducted as a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class. You know, I asked him at the end of the interview about the quarterback competition and Trey Lance, and he volunteered that this is the best football that Jimmy Garoppolo has ever played while he's been a 49er. Now, again, take that for what it's worth. I think some people think, okay, he's trying to boost his value to trade him. That's not how I took it. Some of the more cynical and skeptical did take it that way. I just think that they've been very impressed with what Jimmy Garoppolo has done this summer, and the fact that they traded up to go draft a guy like Trey Lance, I think, has lit a fire under Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's come to camp a little bit motivated. And look, anybody in that spot would be right. If ESPN said to you guys, okay, hey, we hired a new host to take over in the afternoons, just want to try him out, don't you think you'd have some of your best shows? I think so. And so I think that's what's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I know this. We will not be finding another NFL insider to light a fire. Adam Schefter, eternally a fire under his seat. Shefty, we appreciate you giving us some time today. Everyone, make sure you check out the Adam Schefter podcast wherever you get him, and check out Shefty all over ESPN. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
the great Adam Schefter with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And, Janae, I will say, Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think he'll be the starter there this season. I think they should get Trey Lance out there in a hurry. This offense will be the most friendly for any of these young quarterbacks. But Jimmy Garoppolo has, and he's acquitted himself well during this process. Didn't make any stink. Part of that is, I think, understanding where he is in the food chain.
And also, didn't they communicate with him ahead of the draft pick and said, hey, like, we're going to be all right?
Janae, yes, they did, which is the biggest difference between this situation and so many of the other ones that we've seen go south. Man, just a little bit of communication helps. I get Jimmy Garoppolo was never probably going to go nuclear the way we've seen some other quarterbacks, but it just never hurts. Good business by GM John Lynch, who, again, you can check out on Shefty's podcast. But coming up next here, not a lot of communication in college football. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, was understandably upset when Texas and Oklahoma pulled the rug out from under them and headed towards the SEC. But what's the next move on the table for the Big 12 and why it might involve the conference that Chiné knows all too well? We'll get to that next here, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Coming up tomorrow on the Max Kellerman Show, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert as our countdown to the NFL season continues. Justin Herbert. Tomorrow at 2:10 Eastern with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Management stuff. Turn the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare. Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Aguimake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks to Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, for joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Janae, college sports have had an interesting month. Really, I say college sports. I mean, most of it's college football now. We did see the NCAA's independent report and investigation into their handling of the women's tournament during March Madness just finally came out. I still haven't had a chance to read that one yet.
I've seen some tweets already. It's not exciting.
I'm sure it's both not exciting. This would be my guess. Without having read any of it, it is not exciting. Wildly disappointing based on the NCAA and what they did not do in that instance, and a spot where lawyers were paid a lot for billable hours.
Big facts, big facts. You said it was like a lot has been going on. That's an understatement, Junior. These athletes are getting bread, finally. Like, that's the platform that, I mean, when I think about you, Junior, I think about college football, of course. I think of offensive linemen, right? But I also think of you being an advocate for, you know, the athletes getting their fair share. And so we had that through the Supreme Court, and then all of a sudden happened in the snap of a finger, and then now there's so many other things going on with alignment. So I have so many questions for you, but you take me through it.
Well, Janae, I want to loop you in on this because it's going to involve your Conference of Champions here potentially. Now, we just got through Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12. If he doesn't drink, he might start, because this last month when Texas and Oklahoma decided they were going to up and leave and head to the SEC – he has been blindsided. I mean, for lack of a better term, this seems like something that very few people, if any, were privy to. And so what it's been is been damage control since then. Now, we saw Texas get taken over the coals in front of the Texas legislature yesterday, but that has been drowned out now by the sound of this, because Bob Bowlesby was there saying that the Big 12 could potentially lose up to 50% of its TV contract value when Texas and Oklahoma leave. And so, how do you offset some of that loss of value? This is where it gets interesting. So, sources were telling The Athletic today, and I saw an article by Max Olson over there, that the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, and the Pac-12's new commissioner, George Kliavkov, were reportedly getting set to meet today with talks of how the two conferences could potentially benefit from strategically working together, whether that is clever scheduling, whether that is an outright merger. So again, those are the reports potentially about that meeting collectively. So, Janae, as a former member of the Conference of Champions, I'm curious how this sits with you, because we know the Pac-12 has been trying to, especially in football, get to a place where it is more competitive and relevant again. But
love
now,
it.
These talks are starting to come up and bubble up.
I love it. I love it. Everyone talks about my conference, Junior, as Pac-12 after dark, or just, you know, just, and didn't they start like having, I forgot, was it like noon kickoffs?
Noon Eastern kickoffs, 9 a.m. Pacific kicks last
exactly.
season.
These young men, and even women, you know, when we talk about the conference overall, deserve better, okay? So when I hear the conversations about a potential merger, while that sounds wildly chaotic, as much as NIL sounded wildly chaotic, and the transfer portal, it is probably the pendulum moving in the right direction so that people can showcase the talents of the West Coast. So if I'm the new commissioner, which, mind you, you said Bob Bolsey probably needs to pour one, you know, so does this new commissioner because he's coming out the gates hot. Imagine you lose Oklahoma and Texas, but you game a USC, an Oregon, and a Stanford. Like, that could open the door potentially not only for the Pac-12 to make up on lost ground that they've had with what has been our TV deal and the struggles we've had there, but also, like, maybe you become this whole West conglomerate, which might be better for us.
Yeah, Janae, that's going to be the interesting part because, as with all of this, our rush is to go to, all right, where does this go? Like, people are going to hear this news and go, man, are we going to get the Pac-12 and the Big 12 combining with the teams that are left to form a Western Super Conference?
I know what it is, Junior. Stop.
Oh, God, what is it?
The Big Pac.
Wow, you know what? I'm not going to lie, Cliff. Yeah, that's what I was expecting. That actually works, the Big Pac. No, not. You can't play the bomb sound. You can't play the bomb sound. It's going to freak people out and scare the hell out of them. The Big Pac, Janae, that's your intellectual property. We call dibs on that one right now. If they end up going through with this, you guys cite and source Janae Agwumike and pay her handsomely for that.
Lonzo Bull and Big Pac, we're on a roll this week, Junior.
We are absolutely on a roll this week. Now, Janae, what I will say in the reality of all this is...
Oh, wow, how unfun.
I know. Every once in a while, I got to drag it back here. I'm sorry. Loser game show sound for me on that one for making it unfun and going away from the Big Pac. I need to let that breathe. That's my fault. All right. We've let the Big Pac breathe. We all agree. It's a great idea. Want to get on board with that. I don't know if we're going to be there just yet in reality with all this. And Janae, honestly, the best thing about all this, because you brought up 9 a.m. Pacific kicks that we were dealing with last year, which worked, by the way. Like, that was a creative solution to a problem the Pac-12 has had lately. And what this meeting at least seems like is people that are open to creative solutions, right?
Yes.
Like George Klefkov, who you mentioned, is his first year as the Pac-12's new commissioner. He had to take this job knowing he was going to have to get creative already. Did he see this coming? Hell no. But this was a guy who stepped into this job, who, by the way, used to work for MGM Grand, so is in a space that has been growing and nimble in gambling and sports recently. Also, I believe, worked in the digital properties for NBC Universal not too long ago. Oversaw a lot of their action with Hulu and these other places. And so all that is this is a guy that stepped into this situation knowing I am going to have to be nimble. I'm going to have to be willing to get creative to try and get this conference back to the place that we want to be at. And so I don't know if this, to me, signals something I'm ready to crown as the next great super conference, Janae, because that's going to be predicated on which of these Big 12 teams remaining gets nervous first. But I think this is at least a good sign of, hey, we understand we got to get creative now because the ground is starting to shift under our feet.
Completely agree. So, Junior, the news that we've received from, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, for those who may want a simplified version, how would you dissect what this means for the SEC and what it means for the Big 12 plus Pac-12?
The SEC is going to continue to make a lot of money. There are some people that think by adding Oklahoma and Texas, they might even be able to hand out as much as $70 million a year to their member institutions here.
Ooh,
we know the SEC 330 window game is coming to ESPN here pretty soon, the one that's been on CBS for a whole bunch of years, on a deal that was very financially friendly to CBS. And so all this is to say, Janae, the SEC is going to continue to line their pockets and play great football. If they expand the college football playoff, they might get a few more teams in every year. For the remaining Big 12 teams, there are eight of them now left. They got to make a decision. And Bob Bowlesby said, I understand everyone might have to act in their own best interest. They would like to stay together, try and hold this together if they can. But this is going to be about who freaks out and starts to say, man, the future of college football looking mighty uncertain. We want to get to a place that's going to keep us paid. I think this might be a little cold water on that to say, hey, we're going to try and effort something creative in the meantime. So again, Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, and Pac-12 commissioner George Klefkov, reportedly, according to sources telling The Athletic, meeting today to talk about how these conferences might be mutually beneficial to one another. We'll try and keep up with all of the stuff going on in the world of college football as we keep this thing going ahead further into fall camps. But coming up next, NBA free agency got going at 6 o'clock Eastern yesterday, and it took an interesting turn this afternoon. We'll tell you the move that rocked our timelines next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.